Welcome to session 7, lead follow-up. I think this may be one of the more controversial and I think more exciting programs that you're going to watch in this particular series on building high production. And the reason I say controversial because I for some reason, every time I talk about lead follow-up, somebody gets angry, upset, mad, stressed out, frustrated, or all the rest of the emotions that people have so often when they listen to somebody like myself. I really, quite honestly, think that lead follow-up is a very simple topic. I mean, either you follow up and do your job or you don't. But there's so many questions that come up in lead follow-up, and I want to address some of those questions and assist each of you that want to become a big-time producer and a long-term, productive, profitable producer to have a system in effect that you can do good lead follow-up. About, I'm going to guess, 10 years ago, doing an action workshop up in San Jose, California, meeting with a group of the people after the workshop, we started discussing lead follow-up. And I'm going to guess there were probably 15 or 20 agents, and we sat for probably a half an hour and just chatted and talked about some of the problems they had, what they were working on. And one of the questions that came up was, Mike, shouldn't lead follow-up be different for every agent depending on their production? And I looked at the person and I thought, well, gosh, that's an interesting way to look at it. I don't think it's very logical. So I responded with the following. Here's what I said. I said, well, if you're a brand new licensee and you're doing no deals or maybe a few deals, I would say that a lead is anybody that wants to buy a home within the next 12 months. And they all nodded and wrote that down. I said, if you're an agent that's maybe say 12 to 18 months in the business, and let's say that you're doing say 10, 15 deals, a lead would be anybody that wants to buy a home or sell a home within 6 months. And they all wrote that down. I said, if you're doing say 20, 25 transactions a year and you're trying to build your business, a lead is probably a person that wants to buy or sell within say 90 days. And they wrote that down. Then I said, but if you're really producing, and let's say you're doing 40, 50 transactions a year, then I would guess that a lead would be somebody that wanted to buy a home, say, within 30 to 45 days. And they, well, that's really good. I said, but if you're doing, say, 75 to 90 deals a year, and you're really out there grinding away, then a lead's a person that probably wants to buy or sell within, say, 15 days, maybe 2 weeks at the max. And then I said, if you're really a superstar, a person that's doing, say, 100-plus deals a year, a lead is a person that wants to buy or sell within 7 days. And then I said, but then when you really hit it big, and you go big time, and you start doing 100 to 150 deals a year, a lead is probably a person that will buy or sell, with, say, in 24 hours. Now, they wrote all this down, and virtually, after that workshop, I discovered that little message had been circulated among a bunch of our clients over the course of the next year without me knowing about that. And pretty soon, I had people saying, boy, we love the way you're dealing with lead follow-up. And I went, well, good, because I like what I do, too. And they said, we love the schedule you put people on for based on production. And I said, what are you talking about, schedule based on production? Well, you know, if they're 1 year, if they're 9 months, if they're 6 years, if they're this production, that production, here's what a lead is. And I kept thinking, where did these people get this material? And then I remembered from one meeting in San Jose, that's where this material came from. And it virtually kind of spread like a wildfire across a field with real dry brush and a good wind. I mean, it was just like that. We had people, everybody talking about lead follow-up in that kind of a thought process as if I had created something for them. So at our one-on-one retreat several years ago, I started the retreat by saying to all of our great customers, I said, you know, let's take a look at this whole concept of lead follow-up and let me dispel some of the rumors that are going around about what I think lead follow-up is and how it should be done. And everybody kind of nodded and smiled. I said, okay, let me start by saying to you, I want to define a lead for you. And then I'm going to ask you, because the one-on-ones, as some of you know, are really our best customers. I don't know how familiar with our one-on-one coaching, but you know, we have 2,500 plus people in our one-on-one coaching today, and they average 54 transactions a year closed per person. So it's a very productive group of people. Someday I'd like to have all of you be part of that group with us. And it's interesting, I said, so here's the definition of a lead. And I said, I want you to all write it down. They're all sitting there, you know, and they're all prepared and ready to go. I said, it's a person, buyer or seller, who will sign a contract within 7 days. And if they won't sign a contract in 7 days, you take the lead, you rip it in half, you throw it in the trash can. Well, the audience sat there for a few minutes, and they were somewhat stunned. I mean, they kind of sat there, and someone kind of looked at me, and I noticed most of them weren't writing it down. I said, okay, now, let me repeat that. Obviously, you didn't get it. A lead is a person who will buy or sell a property within 7 days, and if they won't, you throw them away. And I said, now, write that down. And all their heads went and started writing, but you could see they didn't want to. I mean, it's like a person who will buy or sell within... they couldn't write the word seven. And I thought to myself, this is amazing. Here's a group of the best real estate people in North America, and they're either not accepting fighting or mentally can't deal with what the definition I'm giving them. So, watch. Here's the great question. Okay? For you, how do you define a lead? And I'll bet, depending on your production, you define a lead the way I put it on the agenda to start this particular session. Well, Mike, I'm new in the business, so anybody, anytime, anywhere. Well, I'm somewhat experienced, so I'm a little bit more careful. Well, I'm doing, you know, 75 deals a year, so they have to buy within 30 days, then I do massive follow-up. Well, see, I think all that's a bunch of nonsense. If you're going to become a high producer, you have to define and set standards for yourself as to what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, why you're going to do it. And if you don't have standards for yourself and your business, guess what? You don't have a business. You're just another one of a few million real estate people mumbling and fumbling around hoping something happens. See, if you're going to go to the effort and work, whether it be to buy business, wait for it, or go earn it. If you're going to go through that energy and make that process happen, and somebody's going to say to you, hey, I want to sell my home or I want to buy a house, and you don't have some system in effect for following up, I think you've made a terrible mistake. So what you have today, and there's many, 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 many of these available, are all these elaborate lead follow-up systems. Most of them are all computerized and software, and you can buy the package, you can press a button, all these letters go out, and all these things happen, and you're reminded to call them on a regular basis and so forth. But see, my belief has always been the same. If you really are interested in selling homes, if you're really interested in selling homes on a high-level volume, if you want to become a high producer, you have to understand that when a person says, I want to buy or sell, your only job or focus is to see when, why, and how soon you can do it. And if it's out of range in terms of when they're going to do it, or a lack of motivation to do something today, there is somebody else that will do it today. Now watch this example. Why do I put a definition of 7 days or less on a lead? My belief? If you take your office where you're sitting today, if you're sitting in your office, or your home, if you're in your home office, and you take a map and you put a pin where your home or office is and you drive or you draw a 5-mile radius around it, there's going to be a lot of people. And I mean a lot of people in that 5-mile radius, unless you live in the middle of Montana on a 5,000-acre farm, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to buy or sell real estate today from somebody. Somebody has a name and is doing something about buying or selling real estate. Now, here's the question. If somebody's going to buy or sell real estate today, and they're not calling you, which they're probably not, and they're not calling me, which they're not, and we're not calling them, there's no chance that we can be involved in that transaction. However, if they're going to buy and sell real estate today, and you were to discover their name today, why would you possibly let that person wait 10, 15, 20, 30, 45 days, because that's how your lead follow-up system works? There are people that buy real estate and sell real estate every day in your community, in your town. Your job is to find them. I mean, watch, guys and gals, you're going to work 240, 230, 220 days a year. You could sell a home every day if you're willing to do two things, a lot of prospecting and a lot of good lead follow-up. But you have to define the leads to the point that you don't let them hang out there in the future. Now, watch this example. I know this has probably happened to some of you watching this session today. You've got a buyer lead, for example, or a seller lead, and you put it into your lead follow-up system. You type it into the computer, and it starts spitting out letters, which they always do, and you're going through all the folder, all the people teach in lead follow-up. And then finally, 45 days later, it pops up in your computer screen to call this particular seller, and you call. And the first thing they say is, well, gosh, we're sorry, we've already listed our property. And then you can't believe this happened to you. I mean, they've already listed their property. How could this happen to me? I've been sending you letters on a regular basis, and you listed with somebody else. Well, see, what you were doing was not lead follow-up. What you were doing was poor lead follow-up. So I think it's very simple. The shorter the definition that you have for a lead, the more motivated you are to call the lead, A. B. The shorter the definition you have for a lead, the more you're going to look for people that meet that definition. Now, what I want you to write down is this. I can only find that which I'm looking for. I can only find that which I'm looking for. If you're going out each day, guys and gals, and you're looking for leads of people that want to buy or sell in the next 12 months, guess what you find? You find leads of people that want to buy or sell in the next 12 months, period. If you're looking for people that want to buy or sell in the next 6 months, you're going to find people that want to buy or sell in the next 6 months. If you're looking for people that want to buy or sell in the next 7 days, guess what you're going to find? People that want to buy or sell in the next 7 days. Now, if your goal is to do 25 transactions in the next 12 months, how many of these people do you have to find? How many leads do you have to have? And the truth is you have to have 25. So I want you to think about this. Each week, I want you to take a real careful look at the leads you have and see how many really will sign a contract in the next 7 days. Because see, that will really tell you what's going on in your business. And then my belief is, and if you're working with me personally, anybody outside 7 days, throw it in the trash can. Because see, I've always said, and it came from one of our great customers, Ron Wexler out of Chicago, where Ron said to me one day, the most important tool in lead follow-up is a large trash can. Because most of your leads are trash. Let me give you an example of this. Way back 100 years ago when I was in real estate, and I grant you it was a long time ago, I get a phone call one day from the manager of the office. And I was doing something else, and he said, we need to talk. I said, sure, what's up? So I come into the office to meet with the manager, and he says, well, we have a little problem in the office. I said, you're kidding, what's the problem? He said, well, we've discovered that a couple of agents around 5:30 at night are going through your trash can and taking your leads out and then following up on them. I said, okay, so what's the problem? Well, don't you understand what I said? I said, well, yeah, you said that agents are going through my trash can, taking out leads I've thrown away and following up. He says, yeah, that's the problem. I said, I guess I'm a little naive here. What's the problem? Well, they're stealing your leads. I said, they're trash. He goes, well, why would you throw a lead away? I said, well, because for me, at that time, if they wouldn't sign a contract in 3 days, I threw them away. I was willing to prospect every day so I could find people that wanted to buy or sell within 3 days. If you're going to do high volume, you can't have leads you're working on for 6, 8, 9 months, for goodness sakes. But the manager actually thought that it was a problem because people were stealing leads out of the trash can. I said, I got a great idea. What I'll do each day from now on is I'll leave them on the conference table so they don't have to go through the trash can. I thought it was a good solution to the problem. See, every week you have to look at what you have to see the quality of what you have. Now, you may never buy into my definition, and I understand that you may not buy into my definition. But at some point, if you don't create a definition for what you think a lead is, guess what? You'll take anybody, anytime, anyhow, anywhere as a lead. And then you're going to spend all this time following up on somebody that may never buy from you or never sell with you. See, I don't think that makes sense if you want to become a high producer. Now, my belief is this, and I wrote this down in a quote. If I'm not getting a substantial amount of my business from my lead follow-up, then I'm not doing a good job of lead follow-up. See, lead follow-up honestly becomes a lead generation source. Now, some of you will say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, watch this example. I want you to answer to yourself right now this question. How many actual leads do you have right now? I mean, in your computer, you know, on notes that you've written up, on matchbook covers and napkins from bars and piece of scratch paper in your purse, in your wallet, in your pocket, in your desk. How many total leads do you have right now? And it's going to range from, you know, there's thousands of people watching this series. It's going to range from, you know, 10, 20, 30 to 300 or 400 leads people have. And I say, okay, now here's the test. Write down the number of leads you have at this moment. Then honestly write down how many will sign a contract in the next 7 days. And I'll bet that that number is reduced by 98%. You might have 30 leads and have one that will buy in the next 7 days. So in my opinion, what you have then is one lead. And therefore that lead, if you're not doing good follow-up, becomes a loss for you in terms of income. So take the number of leads that'll buy or sell in the next 7 days and multiply that times your average commission. There's your earning potential for the week. And if you're not doing some exaggerated, strong lead follow-up, that money is going someplace else. Here's a question for you. How many times per month can you afford to have your commission check go into somebody else? Because you didn't have a good definition of a lead and good lead follow-up. So my belief is this. We virtually have to learn to throw leads away because not all leads are good. You know that right now. I'm not telling something you don't know. You've got leads that you know you've been holding on to, hoping and praying to the real estate God that someday they'll convert into something. Doesn't it make sense? Now, I wrote down this thought. Most agents have too many leads And the disadvantages of having too many leads are the following. I wrote down A, the bad leads, you have some, hide the good ones from you. Let's say you have 10, 15, 20 leads, and one of them wants to do something right now. You can't even find it half the time because you're shuffling through all these leads. I wrote down B. If most of my leads are not good leads, the urgency that you have for lead follow-up diminishes. See, you sit down and you say, okay, well, today I'm going to look through my leads. And you look through, oh, that's a lousy one, and that's a lousy one. Oh, that one, oh, God, why do I keep that one? Oh, man, this one here, they'll never do anything, but maybe they might someday. And all of a sudden, after about 4 days of that, you go, well, what's the point of looking at those leads? Now, watch the next thought. It's a waste of time to be tracking and calling people on a regular basis who are not going to be moving in the near future, buying or selling. I mean, it's a waste of time and certainly a waste of energy to be tracking and calling people. I mean, why would we even do something like that? Well, I can tell you why. Because one of the fears that I've experienced in talking to agents, and it's a common fear, and I mean, it's a real fear, is that if we really define what a lead is, and then we stick with that standard and we throw leads away, our fear is that we will then not have anybody to talk to. And that's a real fear. But if you're prospecting, of course, that's not a problem. The other fear, of course, is that if we ask everybody for their motivation and they don't have any motivation, then, of course, we don't have a lead. So therefore, we have nothing to do. So there's some real fears that we deal with in talking about this topic. The question is, are you willing to commit to the schedule from before? Are you willing to commit to the prospecting from before? Are you willing to commit to the past client center of influence work, which you have to do from before? Are you willing to do the pre-qualifying? Do all the things that are required to make this happen for you so you can then define your leads the way you want and make the leads work in your favor? I tell you what, here's one thought that everybody has to get out of their head. And I've heard this thought, I've heard this thought for 30 years from agents. I mean, it's just, and as when I give you the thought, you're going to chuckle. If you're thinking at all, you're going to chuckle. I mean, the thought is almost absurd. It's such a stupid thought. But here's the thought. I wrote it down, quote, I can take a non-motivated person and through long-term lead follow-up, make them motivated and want to sell their home. Not only is it stupid, ignorant, dumb, pathetic, and ridiculous, it doesn't even make sense. Watch, guys and gals, either they want to sell their home or they don't. And if they don't want to sell their home, there's nothing I can say or teach you to say to suddenly cause them to want to sell their home. All right, either you're going to sell your home or I'm going to stick this gun right in your chest and pull the trigger. Well, that would be motivation. It's also illegal and you go to jail. So we know that doesn't work. I mean, folks, if they want to buy or they don't want to buy. Either they want to sell or they don't want to sell. Remember the old line? Put a dime in the phone or get out of the booth. I'm sure you've heard that a different way, but it's the same concept. Watch, we're not going to take people that don't want to sell and through sending them a series of letters in our computer, suddenly cause them to want to sell. It doesn't work that way in life. Either they want to sell or they don't. And who do you want to talk to? The ones that want to buy or sell within the next 7 days. That's the people you want to spend your time with. Now, here's one of the challenges we face. Lead follow-up is technically just like prospecting, meaning it's a numbers game. See, prospecting is a numbers game. If you talk to enough people, somebody will buy from you, maybe in spite of you. If you talk to enough people, somebody will list with you in spite of you. You already know this is a fact because you see agents in your town, in your community, hopefully not in your company, that get listings and make sales, and you say to yourself, how in the world could that absolute fool ever got a listing? So lead follow-up is the same way. If you keep following up, keep following up, keep following up, you know, the numbers will work in your favor. But the numbers work better in your favor if you have a selective group of people you're following up on. If you've got 5 or 6 people. Now, here's what's fun. I have had the good fortune of talking and working with some of the most productive agents probably in the history of this business. I mean, from the late 1970s, you know, right up through today, some of the most productive agents. And you know what's interesting? It's not uncommon to talk to an agent doing 150, 200, 250 transactions a year that I get to work with that never have more than 3 or 4 leads, ever. And I'll say, well, wait, you're going to do 20 deals a month and you only have 3 leads right now? Well, yeah, because I get new leads every day. And if they're not going to do something today, then I throw them away and work with somebody else. Isn't that interesting? And yet then I talk to people doing 4 deals a year that have 150 leads. I'll give you an example. When I started the one-on-one coaching program in May of 1996, it's a long time ago, our very first client is somebody that some of you may have met at one of our programs, a young lady named Diane Mazzocco from Long Beach, California. Diane, great energy, great enthusiasm, great smile. I mean, just cute as a wink and very, very, very out there in the market working very hard all the time. Well, Diane comes to me and asks if I would coach her in this one-on-one coaching. And she was our very first client, as I mentioned. So on our very first call together, I asked Diane a question. Now, she was doing at that time 8 to 10 deals a year. I mean, that's considered in most offices a good agent. She was very unhappy with that production. I said, Diane, how many leads do you have right now? And I'm thinking now, I'm not going to be exact. I'm thinking she said something along the line of 350 leads. And I went, wait a minute. How do you do 10 deals a year with 350 leads? When I talked to a guy like Froy Candelario, who does 500 deals a year with only 2 leads, never has more than 2 or 3 at a time. I said, something doesn't make sense here. So I said, here's your first assignment. Watch, and here's what I want all of you to do. I said, Diane, I want you to go back between this week and next week, call every single lead that you have and ask them these 2 questions, which I'll give you in just a minute. If they won't answer the questions in a positive way, throw the lead away. Do not allow yourself to be attached to that lead. If they answer the question, set up an appointment. Okay? Now, here's what's interesting. In her first month of coaching, calling these 300-plus leads, she set up like 28 appointments for herself, which she did. And she threw away almost 200 leads, which she did. And she told me afterwards she had never felt better in her real estate career because she didn't have the burden of all these people, okay, that she was always worried about and looking at and shuffling through and playing with and computerizing and sending letters to. Guys and gals, it's a numbers game. You have to think about how you're going to make it happen. So here's some thoughts that I want you to think about in relationship to lead follow-up, okay? And I want you to think about them carefully. The first thought I wrote down is this. Leads have no value. They don't have value. Only an appointment and a signed contract has value to you. So therefore, to think that you have a name on a piece of paper and that it has great value is really somewhat crazy in itself. Second thing, and this is a hard one for most of you to accept, everybody has the same leads. I mean, everybody has the same leads. Do you actually think that if you're standing in line at the grocery store and a lady sees you with your name badge on and the lady says, oh, you're in real estate, we're thinking about buying a home. And you go, great, give me your name. Do you actually believe that nobody else has talked to this lady before? Or how about this one? I actually had an agent say to me, I found a for sale by owner that nobody knows about. I said, unless it's your own home, guess what? Watch, we all have the same leads. Therefore, the person that is willing to follow up the fastest and do their job the quickest is the one that gets the appointment. Third thought I wrote down, leads do not represent security. The fact that you have a big stack doesn't make some security for you. Security in real estate is contracts being signed. Security is how you feel about yourself and your ability, how well you can execute. And then I wrote down last is don't overprotect your leads since everybody has them. I mean, I watch agents and they'll have 3 computer systems and 4 different lead follow-up systems and 19 different security codes to get into their lead, no S. Which, what are you protecting them for like this? See, think about it this way. The higher the quality of the lead that you have, the less time you spend working on it. I mean, watch, if somebody says to you, I want to sell my home today, can I ask you a question? How much lead follow-up do you do? And can you find a person every day that wants to sell their home? And the answer is yes. If a person says, I have to buy a home today, are you going to put them in your computer system and send them 12 letters before you show them property? Of course not. You're going to sell them a home. So the truth is, when you're searching for leads that are 7 days or less, guess what you find? Now, in lead follow-up, I created a program for our one-on-one several years ago that I call the 3-3-3 rule. You may have heard about it. Let me share it with you. Here's how it works. I've got a lead, okay? 3-3-3 rule, okay? I call them on the phone. When the phone rings 3 times, you hang up. Obvious question is why. All voicemails come on after the 3rd or 5th ring, okay? And if they're not home by the 3rd ring, I don't want to talk to him anyhow because I don't want somebody on the 13th ring rushing to the phone who is changing the baby's diaper or sitting in the dinner with their spouse or making a meal or involved in a TV program they've wanted to watch all week, rushing to the phone and answering it, oh, hello, hello, and then me saying, hi, this is Mike, and I'm doing some lead follow. I don't want to get involved in that conversation. If they don't answer on the third ring, I hang up. And you know on a voicemail, I mean, how much time you can waste. Now watch this. You call one of your leads. A ring, a ring, a ring, a ring, a ring. Then the short ring, voicemail, ring. And then you hear the message come on. Hi, this is Bob and Mary and the kids. We're not home. You probably guessed that. That's why this message came on. If you want to talk to me, Bob, you press 1. You want to talk to Mary, you press 2. You want to talk to the Rugrats, you press 3. So press a number now. Don't forget, God loves you and so do we. And then they hang up. Beep. Now what are you going to say at that point? See, my belief is this. On the third ring, hang up. You ain't talking to them, folks. Second 3. When you have called a lead 3 times and you can't reach them, in the trash can. Because, guys and gals, if they want to do something, they have to respond. And then the third 3 on the 3-3-3 rule, if I've called them 3 times and I've talked to them 3 times and I can't get an appointment, guess what? I throw them away. Watch. My time, your time, is too valuable to be chasing a lead all over town. But Mike, I only have 1 lead and I've been chasing him for 4 months. What do I do now? I don't know. Maybe how about try prospecting? Then you'll get the leads you want. So what do I recommend to you in terms of lead follow-up, in terms of a system? I have the best system for lead follow-up. You guys are going to love this. Okay. It's very inexpensive. A stack of 3x5 cards. Okay. This thick. Every lead you get, left-hand corner, name, address, and phone number. Right-hand corner, is it a buyer or a seller lead? Put B for buyer, S for seller. At the bottom of the card, you write down the date you acquired the lead, okay? June 21st, I acquired the lead. And then you put a little line and you write down the date that you're willing to throw it away. It's called goal setting with leads. I got him on the 21st, throw him away on the 28th. Now I pick up that card each day and I know that I have to get something going with this lead or it goes in the trash can. I wrote my notes in the back. So all I have is a stack of 3x5 cards, keep them in my pocket. I'm looking at them every day, calling them every day, trying to process them, get them appointments or get rid of them. That's my lead follow-up system. When you call them, I mentioned earlier, there's 2 questions that I want you to ask every lead. Okay? Phone rings, Mrs. Smith answers. Hi, Mrs. Smith. This is Mike Ferry, Banana Realty. Question, do you still have to sell your home? Well, yes, we do. Can we set an appointment for the next couple days? Oh, no, we can't do that. May I ask why? Well, we really can't do anything for at least 60 days. No problem. Call me when you're ready. Okay, we will. Bye. Throw it in the trash. Watch. Do you still have to sell your home? Yes, we do. Can we set an appointment in the next few days? Well, we could do it on Wednesday. Great. See you Wednesday. 2 simple questions for lead follow-up. Now, guys and gals, I am telling you, as you've heard me say on almost every one of these sessions, you need to go back and watch the session again. And you have to establish some standards for yourself as to what you're going to do. I started by saying this session I know is controversial to most people, and I know it's also exciting because once you get it, your chances of going to the high levels are well insured because of your behavior. Set the standards, get the program into effect, have some fun with this information.